Well, we've got the recording going. Hi, everybody. This is Diane Kennedy. You probably might have been listening to Marco and I chatting before we got going. I want to thank you all for joining me today. I'm excited about the topic we're talking about today and, of course, our guest. I've got to start with this, a little bit of a confession. I have been building businesses for years. I started my first business over 20 years ago. And the first time I talked to Marco about this subject, building business credit, I thought I need to get an expert to talk about it to my clients. But I figured I already know everything he's about to tell me because I've been doing this for so long. But I needed the guest to talk to. And I knew Marco was for real. I checked out his credentials and I was happy that he was going to give up some of his valuable time because he charges a lot for the kind of information you're going to get for free today. But then I talked to Marco the first time. In that first 10 minutes, Marco, I took 2 pages of notes. It was all I could do to keep up with the brilliant ideas you were sharing. So for everybody listening, I hope you have a paper and pen ready. You're going to need it. Let me just start a little bit with an introduction about Marco Carbajo. He's a nationally known business credit specialist. You've got over 18 years of experience in business and consumer credit. He's built 2 multi-million-dollar companies, and he did it in just a couple of years. He's the founder of YouCan2, which is a credit coaching company that's had over $26 million in sales and has over 46,000 clients that are entrepreneurs, mortgage brokers, real estate professionals, nonprofit organizations, basically anybody who needs to have business credit with their businesses. Marco has got he's the founder of the National Entrepreneur Club. We're going to talk a little bit about that because that's the brand new site that's just launched. And he also has a gift for everybody listening today, but I'm going to let Marco talk about that in a little bit. Marco is also a writer, and he's written 8 Steps to Ultimate Business Credit and How to Build Business Credit with No Personal Guarantees. His articles are all over the internet, and I could go on and on about all the things Marco's done, but we're here to learn from him instead of listening to me. So, first of all, Marco, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks, Diane. It is an honor to be on the conference call with you, and I'm excited to share this information with everybody, and I can tell you I'm a big fan of yours as well. I loved your
Thank
publications,
you.
And it's just amazing to be able to connect with you and share this experience with not only you but your entire audience.
Ah, thank you. We're in such a crazy economic time right now. It's interesting where we see big businesses are getting bailouts and yet still declaring bankruptcy, closing right and left. Our real estate's gone down. There's a credit meltdown. And yet through that all, small business seems to keep on going. Margo, what are you seeing are the challenges with your clients today in today's economic times?
Well, that's a great question because, some of the statistics out there that I'd like to kind of give out there to the audience with regards to, what's the concern that most business owners on a national level are having right now. And then I'll talk to you a little bit about what the concern of my clients or the problem I see out there with small business in America today. But according to the NFIB, which is the National Federation of Independent Business, the number one issue right now among small business owners is really inflation. It's not necessarily business credit. But of those surveyed, 18% of those said that the prices, like higher fuel prices, rising utility bills, higher material costs, that's their biggest worry. And only 2% of the people polled, the business owners polled, said that their number one problem, only 2% said that credit is their problem right now. And that's up to about 3% from 2002. One other statistic is the NSBA, which is the National Small Business Association, says about 55% of small business owners polled in February said that they've been affected by this credit crisis going on right now, and it's increased to 67% today. So the biggest concerns right now on a national scale is, of course, economic uncertainty, rising energy costs, and the rising cost of healthcare, obviously. But from a business perspective, from my perspective, on dealing with my clients as well as dealing with entrepreneurs and business owners all over the country, what I've seen with the challenge is most business owners and entrepreneurs still follow that quote-unquote traditional route when it comes to funding, financing. You see it on the news with all the people who are actually taking home equity lines or using their personal credit cards to keep their businesses going. And if you ask any business owner, entrepreneur, the majority of them, when you're asked, how did you start your business or how are you funding your business right now or keeping it going, people, the answer typically is personal credit cards or home equity lines or personal loans from a bank or loaning from family and friends, or they're actually even cashing in their personal investments to keep their businesses going. And even the statistics show that over 65% of all the small business owners right now use credit cards on a regular basis. But here's the problem, Diane. The problem is half of those credit cards are actually in the business, are not in the business name. They're actually used with the owner's personal credit. And that's the problem right there. The biggest problem is the credit that's being used by entrepreneurs and business owners to run their businesses is in their own personal credit, using their Social Security number, of course, and that's impacting their FICOs. It's impacting their credit-to-debt limit ratio. So using personal credit cards for business purchases may be okay at the very beginning when you're at the startup phase. You may have been seeking venture capital, but the key is, the problem I see is people, the entrepreneurs are not building the business credit, and so they find themselves in situations where they're at today.
You know, that's a great point, and unfortunately you see the stories all the time that a business fails or, you know, is having some problems, and there's like a compounding effect at the same time because they've been using personal credit cards. The credit card limits have gotten cut. I mean, we're seeing that across the board.
Right.
And the latest this week of talking about credit rate, the interest rates going up 20%+. Oh, my goodness. But let's talk a little bit about that, just to start with a definition. When you talk about business credit, how is that different than just any other kind of credit, regular credit?
Oh, another great question. That happens to be a widely asked question that I get from a lot of people on the blogs I put out, as well as emails that I get. And business credit, and you've probably seen on the internet as well, it's also known as corporate credit. And it's really, in a nutshell, kind of the definition. It's the ability to obtain financing under the name of a corporation or a business rather than an individual person or Social Security number. So this type of credit, what we call business credit, it's critical in establishing and maintaining business or banking relationships with potential creditors and vendors, business partners, or even clients. So business credit not only is totally separate from your personal credit, or should be separate from your personal credit, but it's because these business credit profiles that you establish with Dun & Bradstreet, Corporate Experian, and Business Equifax, which are the three main business credit reporting agencies. There's many other business credit reporting agencies out there, but these are the three main ones. And we'll probably talk a little bit about that, the comparison between business credit reporting agencies and consumer credit reporting agencies. But these business credit profiles, or business credit, is based on your business's past and current credit history, and among other factors that they factor into what your rating will be. It really gauges how reliable your business is, not personally, but that's why many people use their personal credit to gauge their business's credit worthiness instead of their business should be able to stand on its own.
Right. Could you give me those three again? Because I just think that's interesting. We talk a lot about FICO, but I don't think people, including me, always realize that your business credit, that there's a separate reporting agencies, or three of them, for your business as well.
Right. See, there's the consumer credit reporting agencies, which these are all privately held companies, and that's the most important. They're not government companies, or they're not anything tied to the government. These are privately owned companies, and they're in the business of collecting data and selling that data to subscribers, which are creditors and lenders, etc. So the consumer side is Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. On the business side, there's Dun & Bradstreet, and that's they have a score similar to a FICO score. They use what it's called a Paydex score. Similar to the FICO, if you have a 720 personal credit score, you're the cream of the crop. Or if you have an 800 credit score personal, we're cream of the crop. But on the business side, if you have an 80 Paydex score or greater, you're the cream of the crop when it comes to business credit scores. So that's Dun & Bradstreet. And then there's Corporate Experian and Business Equifax. Recently, Equifax got into the game of business credit reporting. So Business Equifax is catching up right now, but Corporate Experian and Business Equifax traditionally use report mainly on your banking history, your business credit cards, and Dun & Bradstreet is more known to report on trade credit or vendor credit. So those are the differences between those reporting agencies, and I don't want to get into too much because I'm sure you're going to cover this in a minute.
Right.
But the crazy thing is too with the consumer side is we have protection on the consumer side with the Fair Credit Reporting Act, but on the business side, there is no law like the Fair Credit Reporting Act to protect business owners from unfair business credit reporting. So I'll get into that in a little bit, I'm sure.
Wow, this is very interesting. So let's just kind of take it through step by step. What, again, I know we covered a little bit, but the advantages of having that business credit versus the personal credit. Why go through all this?
Well, as an entrepreneur, business owner, there's a lot of key advantages to having a strong business credit profile that can stand on its own. Instead of putting your personal credit and your personal assets and your family at risk every time your company needs financing, that alone right there is I would have to say, the number one advantage because you want to position your business to have the ability to secure the financing you need with not only without affecting your personal credit, but also to have better terms. You get better interest rates if you're borrowing on your business's behalf. You get better terms and without requesting a personal guarantee. So I kind of have a couple bullet points when it comes to the benefits of having business credit. Number one is business credit cards. You can get much higher limits than you can on personal credit cards. Many of my clients have personal credit cards they use for business, and they're not real quote-unquote business credit cards, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But
yeah,
these personal credit cards, you can maybe get $20,000-$30,000 in cash credit limits on some of these credit cards. With business credit cards, you can get anywhere between $40,000-$50,000 in cash credit limits on these business credit cards. The second benefit, of course, is your corporation, your business. If you have a strong business credit profile, you have the ability now to obtain 10 to 100 times the credit than you can obtain personally. Now, 10 to 100 times more financing capacity. That alone is huge benefit to having business credit. And, of course, when you have business credit, you have the cash lines available. I know some people might say, I have some cash reserves for my business. I don't want to go borrow. See, the key to having business credit is to, I like using the phrase, dig your well before you get thirsty. The problem is with business owners or entrepreneurs, many of them, they wait until they need the money, and then they backtrack and say, where can I get the money?
Right.
The key, we want you to be proactive, and so it's important to have those cash lines for unforeseen expenses like expansion, or you might need equipment, or operations, or fulfillment, or even you might have a downturn, a slow time like we're having right now. Another benefit, prevent the risk of damaging your personal credit. This is so a tremendously damaging thing when people are using their personal credit or using their Social Security number when they're getting business financing, because when you use that cash credit card, what happens, let's suppose you need a piece of equipment for your business and it's $10,000, that's hitting your personal credit. It shouldn't. It should hit only your business credit. So a benefit is it doesn't damage your personal credit.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people might get the feeling that it only damages it if you don't pay it back. But the reality is that the more debt you have, the more it decreases your FICO score, your personal FICO. So just the fact that you're using your personal for business purposes, that alone is reducing your FICO score.
Right, exactly. And when you do that, the benefit to that is it prevents the limits. It prevents the limits that lenders will impose on you for personal credit for you and your family's needs. So let's just say, for example, you charge $10,000 for business equipment, and then a couple months down the road you realize your car broke down. You need to go get a new car, but guess what? You get turned down for a car for, let's say, you or your spouse because you have a $10,000 high debt to credit limit ratio on this new card you just maxed out for your business.
Right.
So that's some of the advantages to having a business credit. And, of course, you reduce your tax burden and improve accounting. And last but not least, this is the big thing. What business out there today does not want to save money? So, for example, you get better rates when you're borrowing on your business. So if you have to get a personal line of credit, let's say $100,000 line of credit, the bank's going to slap you with maybe a 10 to 13% interest rate, whereas if your business could qualify with strong business credit, great business financials, and you've got the right foundation in place, you could look at a rate between 7 to 8%. So you're looking at a savings of $40,000 in interest alone just for building a strong business credit profile.
Wow, that's great. Just a clarification on terms. You've talked about corporate credit, and probably I'm the only person who's going to ask you that because I do taxes and asset protection and all that. But this doesn't have to be a corporation. It could be an LLC or a limited partnership.
That's right. It could be an S-Corp, yeah. LLC, or yes, that's correct. The only thing you can't build business credit on is a sole proprietorship.
See, I've got one more reason. I absolutely hate sole proprietorships because it costs you more in taxes. You have a 1 in 3 chance of being audited. Did you know that, Mark? A 1 in 3 as opposed to 1 in 100 with a corporation. And
unbelievable.
Then you've got full asset. You've got complete liability then with a sole proprietorship. So one more reason you can't get business credit with a sole proprietorship. Thank you. Okay, let's look at this kind of from another standpoint. I have a lot of clients who are or have been real estate investors, mm-hmm. and the reality is that market is just tanked in certain areas. So people are looking at bad credit now. I mean, there have been people who've been forced to do foreclosure or deeds in lieu of or short sales or even just holding onto property that's very upside down. All of that's impacting their credit. And so I've got clients who have always had phenomenal FICO scores who right now are looking at really bad ones. Is it possible for them to build business credit, even if they've got bad personal credit scores right now?
Well, I've got great news, and the answer to that is absolutely, absolutely, and that's such a powerful question because with credit issues going on in America today with the consumer side, you're going to see a lot of business owners going through exactly what you're talking about, and to take it back on what we were talking about, if initially entrepreneurs and business owners had built their business credit separate from their personal credit, guess what? If their business unfortunately closed down or shut down, all of the liabilities would have been tied to that corporation and not damaged them personally.
Right.
See, that's the key right there. It's protecting you and your family. So during the initial, let's take it back now what you just said. If you had bad personal credit, what can you do? Can you build business credit? Well, absolutely. What we do, when you start initial building your initial credit for your business, there's some beginning stages, just like when you get your first credit card when you're 18 years old, right? You got your first card, you start using it, and you start building.
My son is 18 and doesn't have a credit card, so just in case he's listening, he's not getting one right now. Go ahead.
Right. It's in that side, it's a debit card.
Yeah, exactly.
But during the initial business credit building stages, a business has zero credit, okay? Even if you may have been in business for 10, 15 years, if you've never set up a business credit profile, and we'll talk about that in a minute, where you have to be the one who sets it up, it doesn't get set up for you automatically. That's the difference. But during the initial business credit building stages, you start building what we call the Tier 1 or vendor credit lines, okay? And these are – we have specific vendors that will report to your business credit report, but more importantly, they do not require personal credit checks, okay? Now, this is not to say you all of a sudden get a $20,000 cash or a vendor credit line from somewhere. It might be start out with maybe $1,000 or $2,000, but as you progress on these tier ones and they don't pull your personal credit, that's what's great about it. You move into building your credit to the next tier, and there's four different tiers of building your credit, which eventually the goal is for you to get to the tier four, which is your business cash credit cards. But these cards, when you build your vendor credit that doesn't require your personal credit, and you start obviously maintaining your good payment history, of course, there's ways to do that to speed it up. It doesn't require a personal guarantee. So as you build that big, strong profile with your vendor credit, when you get to Tier 4, these business cash credit cards, guess what? You can start receiving these cash credit cards without even your personal guarantee, without even your personal Social Security number. So the answer, of course, is yes, you can build business credit with bad credit, personal credit. But at the same time, you can even get cash credit with bad personal credit. But now here's the key, though. Eventually, you're going to need to improve that personal credit because, you know, you're not going to be able to walk into a bank and get a line of credit at a bank with bad personal credit. Banks will always check your personal credit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing I'm talking about is your business bank cash credit cards. But as far as your like a traditional bank to go for a line of credit, there are certain types of financing out there that you can qualify with little or even poor credit. But what I suggest for every business owner who has gone through some personal credit challenges is start building your business credit with Tier 1. Start building that separate business credit profile. And then also work on getting your credit restored. Enroll in a credit restoration service. But once you start, you move up to Tier 4, then you're going to be ready. Your credit's going to be restored. And there's ways to do that. But then you'll be ready to also start applying for bank financing. And this is not a quick thing. This doesn't happen in 30, 60 days. You might see it out there, which, of course, I hate seeing that. We can get you $100,000 in cash credit in 30 days. It doesn't happen.
And you know, that was part of it. It's interesting because I started off with the preamble that I wanted to find somebody who was for real, and that's how I ran into you, is because I knew that there was no way you could do that, but what is possible? And actually, you showed me that it was even more possible than I thought. Just kind of walking through that, the Tier 1 to Tier 4. So I know you've got your new website that's going to be launching soon. You're going to give us the address in a little bit, but you're going to be showing people through that site, hey, here's a list of people to get that Tier 1 credit lines. These are people who report who don't need personal guarantees. Is that right?
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Cool. And how long – let's take the example of somebody who's got bad credit right now. How long would it take with a new business to get to the point of Tier 4? What's a realistic number there?
Well, realistically, with each tier, you're looking about 60 days out to move up to the next tier. So every tier is about 60 to 90 days. So you're looking to get to Tier 4. It could take you maybe 6 to 12 months. Depending on how the seasoned your business is. So there's a lot of factors that come into play.
Sure.
I would have to say anywhere between 6 to 12 months to get to Tier 4.
But still, for somebody who's just gone through a devastating time with real estate, and you know, there's a lot of people in that boat right now. And the fact that, hey, you could start a business and within a year be getting credit lines of up to $100,000 through the Tier 4, is that right?
Yeah, that's very realistic. And what I'm talking about is if you're starting from scratch. I mean, you're starting a brand new business. You have no financials. You have no bank rating. Now, if some of the listeners on the conference call have already been in business, they have financials, they have bank ratings, then, of course, that's going to speed up the process.
Right. This is just valuable information. And then on credit restoration, you've got some resources to help people with that as well through your website. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. And how long does it take, just kind of throwing that out, for somebody who's been through, had a foreclosure or done the short sale and, you know, their credit is really hit hard now, how long to get back to where they used to be?
Well, traditionally we see the majority of improvement between 3 to 6 months. And of course, we can't guarantee, no credit restoration company can guarantee that we'll delete this particular item. But it's with the credit restoration side, that's basically no difference. I mean, people can do it on their own, but we just offer a much easier, much more cost-effective resource for consumers and business owners, where it's almost like you would go to an H&R Block to pay them to do your taxes. Well, there's a credit restoration service where you're able to restore your credit as well, if you don't want to go through the personal hassle of dealing with it yourself.
Right, got it. I've got just one more question, and then I'm going to ask you what those 8 steps are. So just to get you ready, I'm going to ask that in just a little bit. But just one other question to kind of go through this again. If somebody maybe has great credit, you know, we've been talking about people who've got bad credit, they're fine, and they're starting the small business, and they're thinking, you know, this is just too much hassle. I'm just going to use my own personal cards to do it. Mm-hmm. It seems easier. Why not just keep it simple and do it that way?
You mean you're using their personal credit?
Yeah, just use the personal credit and don't mess with the business.
Okay. Well, That's a big no-no.
Okay. And don't do it, huh?
Hopefully I'll convince the listeners. The statistics, again, say that 65% of small businesses out there use credit cards on a regular basis. You're going to use credit cards at some point for your business. Now, the key is, are you going to use it for your on your personal side, or are you going to have it completely tied into your business? Using your personal credit, also known as your consumer credit profile. Now, we all know the damaging facts of your personal credit, how it can lower your FICO score, et cetera, but there's some other very important legal things, and I'm sure the listeners are going to appreciate this side, because this is something you probably have never heard before, and it's important that you hear this, especially if you're using your personal credit cards to fund your business, okay? Using your consumer credit profile instead of establishing business credit is a bad idea because of the fact that it impacts your personal debt to credit limit ratios, which I talked about earlier, and your credit scores and your personal financial capacity for you and your family. But also, when you use your personal credit for the benefit or operation of the company that you own, it can lead to what we call an alter ego. So if a regulatory agency or financial organization looks into it, like let's suppose you default on a particular, or your business goes out of business, et cetera, it actually pierces the corporate veil. And this would directly endanger your personal assets and make you, the owner, directly liable for the penalties or repayment of any debts incurred by your business or corporation. And what we call this, it's a commingling of funds or a commingling of credit profiles. So that's a serious thing that you don't want to put yourself into. And a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs do this. You know, when they have a corporation, oh, I'm protected, it's a separate entity, but when they're using personal credit to fund their business, guess what? That can literally strip away that corporate veil or that protection because you're mixing your personal credit profiles with your business. And another disadvantage of using your personal credit in place of your business credit is the fact that the use of your personal credit to keep your company going or to expand your company, it makes your company appear that it's improperly funded or operated. It may incorrectly establish that your business credit is unstable or unreliable, or even overextended. I'm hoping everybody's understanding what my point is on this, because, one other thing that I want to, why you shouldn't use your personal credit, and this is another important factor to consider. In the business credit world, when you're submitting applications for business credit, and you're using your Dun & Bradstreet or your DNB number to apply for business credit, you can do that as much as you want. Okay, and that's normal in business credit, the business credit arena. But if you do it on the personal side, guess what that's called? That's called excessive inquiries. And it hurts your personal credit because once you have excessive inquiries, you get red flagged. And, of course, that damages your personal credit. And you'll never be able to get personal credit if you have multiple inquiries on your personal credit. So you can apply for business credit all day long, and those applications or inquiries for that lenders check your DNB report, they check your corporate experience, that does not affect you at all. But on the personal side, it affects you tremendously. And that's why you shouldn't use personal credit for your business.
Marco, I hope everybody is writing all this down. I have to say, I didn't realize that. I'd never thought of that before. But, of course, all the inquiries, when you've got that on a personal and your FICO, it lowers it. But with business, it doesn't matter because businesses that are growing are going to be always looking for credit. So until you make that leap from that personal business into a real business, you're held back by that. That's brilliant. The other part, just to underline what you were saying about the commingling, that's a really serious issue today. I'm seeing with my clients a lot more of them unfortunately involved in threatened lawsuits. It seems like when times are bad, there are a certain group of people that are always looking for somebody to sue. You know, it's not my fault. Who can I blame for this? And so, unfortunately, I have with my business owner clients, we're being much more careful on making sure that they're really sheltered and are protecting their personal assets from something that could happen in the business. And when you think about something that's as simple as which Visa card you pull out when you pay for something, and that that could put everything at risk. This could be very serious. It could be just a simple little thing that could cost you everything.
Right.
If you're not careful.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Now, this is the part that I've been waiting for. You're the author of The 8 Steps to Ultimate Business Credit. So I know that we could go on for hours on this, so we'll just kind of talk through bullet points, and let's start with what's step one?
Okay. Well,
this is a loaded question. Yeah.
And my wife was telling me to not speak so fast because I get excited and I have a tendency to talk real fast. So I'll try to maintain my enthusiasm for this because I love this. I love helping entrepreneurs and business owners really set the foundation correctly. And when you start building business credit and you start seeing the potential that you have, and the thing that I want the listeners to get really excited about is the fact that you can build a business credit profile, not with just one company. You can build multiple corporations and multiple businesses. So just imagine, if you have 3 or 4 different corporations right now and you have 3 different, 4 different businesses, you can build business credit for each of those corporations. And when you start building business credit and progress in this process, I want to what we emphasize to our members and our clients is that it's just the beginning. Don't think just because you have some business cash credit cards for $40,000, $50,000, you might have one big bank line of credit. That's just the beginning. You want to move forward. I mean, how many business owners on this conference call would sleep better at night if they knew they had, $1 million in cash credit lines spread out through all their corporations? You would sleep better at night. So if any unforeseen charges came up or where you may have had to come up with a big expense, that you were covered. You have the financing right at your disposal. So in order to properly build business credit, I've come up with these 8 steps to building ultimate business credit. And I want everyone to keep in mind that the business credit bureaus are not regulated by the Fair Credit Reporting Act. So if you don't do this correctly, what happens, and there's certain procedures, and I'm going to talk about that in a second, but if you don't build your business credit correctly, what happens is you can become what we call red flagged by, for example, Dun & Bradstreet can red flag you if there's certain things you haven't done correctly. And what they do is they can place you in a high-risk category on your DNB report. And when that happens, when you get flagged, guess what? It's almost impossible to take that high-risk category off your business. So guess what? You will literally be declined for all lending requests that you put on your business.
Let me stop there just for a second. So if somebody, let's say they've done something wrong with it, they've got Company A already running, mm-hmm. That would affect just Company A if they are doing maybe 3 or 4 other businesses. That red flag would not go to those other businesses. Is that right?
That's correct, because they're separate.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, and so if somebody kind of gets themselves, well, you'll probably tell us, but it's like, oh my gosh, what if they've already made that mistake and they're already red flagged and now they just discovered that?
Well, the beauty of it is if you haven't initiated your business credit profile yet, you're okay.
Because
you have to set up your business credit profile. So before you activate your business credit profile with Dun & Bradstreet, you have to have all these steps covered before you even start setting up your profile. So there is, don't worry if you made mistakes. if you don't have a business credit profile yet, or if you don't have a Dun & Bradstreet number yet, then you're safe. So
important to know. Good.
Right. Exactly. So let me kind of just go over these 8 steps. Of course, there's a lot more involved with these 8 steps, but this is kind of the first step is what we call corporate conformity. And this is your entire foundation before you even set up your business credit profile. There's some conforming steps that you have to have, and of course one of the basic steps is setting up a business entity. So if you have an entrepreneur just getting started, you have to have a corporation, which could be an S-corp, C-corp, LLC, or a limited partnership. And it's critical to set up your entity properly because both of the business credit bureaus out there and lending institutions, both of these, they verify information. They do investigative work on your business. So they will check your business address. They will check if you're 411 listed. They'll check your state filing. They'll check if you're you have a SIC and NACS code, and so on. So there's all these little things, these details that you have to make sure are checked off, and we cover that. And these specific items, once they verify it, it'll allow you to have start off with a good rating. And there's risk ratings that these business credit bureaus give lenders. So Dun & Bradstreet even has a limit suggestion. So when a business or a lender or a business credit card pulls your business credit report, they actually have a suggested amount of lending that they should give your business. So that's the foundation part. So once you set up your foundation, then you're ready to move on to step number two. So the second step in building ultimate business credit, and this is a very controversial one. I wouldn't say controversial one, but I would have to say it's something that's it's so widely missed. It's not mandatory, okay, and that's your business plan. It's not a mandatory step, but it's necessary because it opens more doors for your business when it comes to the lending side. There are actually specific banks who will not extend anything to you unless you have a business plan. So it helps support a loan application. So if you're going to go into bank financing for your business or raise equity funding, a business plan, I would have to say, is a very important part of the eight steps of building ultimate business credit. Step number three is your business credit profile. So once you've gone through...
Let's jump, you know, Mark, I'm going to stop you right there on the business
sure.
plan. And just a conversation on that, because I see so many people that basically their business plan is make enough money so we can pay the rent, you know, and get the employees paid. And
right.
But the reality is that the business plan is often something that maybe only accountants like, because we like all the numbers and the guess, you know, I always run three plans, the worst case, most likely case, and the best case, because
right.
you have to be prepared
right.
for all three of them. But that's really true, that the bank is going to want to see that. And so if you've got something from the beginning, and even if you end up with your most likely case is off by a mile, they know you've already put some thought into this and that you're learning from that. That's something that you're going to be offering help with through your website as well?
Right. There's some specific resources that we offer for that, yes.
Perfect, yeah. People get stuck here and often think, oh, I don't have to do it, or they spend years trying to write the business plan and never get off the ground. But the reality is there is some work involved, but what do you find? How long does it usually take people to get their business plan done?
Well, it really depends on how much of homework they've done, if they've done any type of research on their market, as well as their mission statement. I mean, there's different types of business plan planning. There's even the traditional business plan software out there. But, you know, for
yeah.
some people, it could be a very intimidating thing because, like you said, mostly accountants want to see numbers or projections.
Yeah.
And the average entrepreneur, they just want to get out there and promote their business. They just want to get out there
right.
and market. They're excited about their product. They don't want to get into the numbers. They don't want to get into all these details. So at that point, it's really important for you to outsource your business plan. But you want to make sure, this is the key, you want to make sure that your business plan is portraying the passion that you have for your business, and it's not so dry because with just numbers. So it's got to be a combination of both. So you have to be choosy on who's going to be designing your business plan.
Right. So they really capture the essence. It isn't just some canned thing.
Right.
Fill in
that's
the blank.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Sorry for the interruption. Go ahead. What's step number three?
Oh, that's okay. And there's actually a whole other conversation about that with the different types of the character that lenders look at. They look at all these, the collateral, the different types of things they look at before they approve a loan. And that's a whole other conversation that we can get into at another
sure.
time. But that's part of the business plan. Now, your business credit profile, that's step number three. Once you've got your corporate conformity, you've gone through all these detailed steps, you're ready to initiate your business credit profile. So once you've completed this, this is when it gets exciting, because then you set up your profile with Dun & Bradstreet. That's number one. You can't go set up a business credit profile with a corporate Experian or Business Equifax. The only way your business credit profile gets established with corporate Experian and Business Equifax is when you do business with a vendor or a business credit card or a bank institution that reports to corporate Experian and Business Equifax. Okay, so let me say this again. Dun & Bradstreet, you're the one who initiates that initial file. Okay, you're the one who sets it up. You activate it. But with the other two business credit bureaus, you cannot set up anything with them. The only way they set it up is if someone starts reporting your payment history to them. So one of the main differences between your personal credit and business credit is that your business credit profile does not exist until you set it up. That's very important. Whereas in your personal credit, as soon as you get approved and you start using your credit, then the credit reporting agencies create a profile for you. And the next three steps I'm going to get into, these all have to do with trade accounts, also known as vendor credit lines, which I talked about earlier. But here's a big thing that most people, I'm almost guaranteeing that all the listeners have never known this or heard this before. When people say, you know, you look at all these websites out there about building business credit and you just got to go get a Home Depot card or this. There are over 500,000 vendors out there that are extending credit to businesses, all right, like your Home Depots, your Staples, your Office Max, et cetera. But here's the kicker. This is what the majority of business credit building companies don't tell you. Less than 6,000 of them report your payment history to the business credit bureaus.
Ah.
So you can have all these trade credit cards and having payment history and having it not even show up on your business credit. So you have to make sure that you're choosing the right vendors to do business with. If you don't, it is totally contradicting what you're trying to do for your business.
Right.
Okay? So step number four is tier one trade accounts. So that's the beginning process like I talked about.
And you want to use those. I mean, maybe you need the Home Depot. I don't know if Home Depot reports or whatever. Then it doesn't hurt to go get it, but realize you need to have some of those that are that 6,000 that actually report, because otherwise it's not doing your business credit any good.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And what we do, we teach, and in the membership site is, as a business owner, entrepreneur, we give you a list of all the vendors that report. There's lots of them. Of course, we keep building that list as we keep investigating what works, what doesn't work, and of course, from lots of feedback from our existing clients. But what we want you to do, and you don't need to go apply for 100 of them. You only need to apply for about 5 or 6 of them. Okay, and tier one. And once 3 to 4 of them report, then you're ready to move on to tier two. But what we do is we want you to choose the vendors or trade accounts, same thing. We want you to choose the ones that are relevant to your business. That's the key.
Right.
So if you have a business, let's suppose, where you're going to need office paper, you're going to need this, you're going to need this, then you'd want to get something in that department, whereas you're not going to want to get a trade account at Interstate Batteries if you're a traditional office, because you're not going to be buying batteries.
You know, I might need one for my cell phone, but that's probably the end of it. Yeah.
Right. So, whereas if you're a mechanic and you own a mechanic shop, then that would be relevant. So,
right.
But once you start establishing those tier one accounts, then you're ready to move on to step number five, which is tier two accounts. And at this point, these are specific vendors that grant business credit to businesses that have some history. See, there's different vendors that will extend credit to businesses depending on where they're at. So you can't apply for tier two trade accounts if you have no business credit profile, because they won't extend credit to you. They won't. So, and of course, this is because of lots of research with different vendors on where they extend credit and how they extend credit. But when tier two vendors, when you apply for them, they pull your business credit, and when they see that you have a profile, they see that you have a rating already, guess what? You get approved for tier two. And this is kind of a cycle. You know, we tell you to use those credit lines, and there's a whole other ball game there that how to use your trade accounts. But once you start establishing your second tier trade accounts, then you move on to step number six, which is tier three. And these companies will grant credit in higher amounts than what was granted from tier one and tier two. So you can kind of get the picture of what's happening here. You're starting out from scratch, and you keep building
and
building.
The first guys are giving you like $100 or $200 limits. Is that kind of what usually the
numbers
are?
No, the first ones may start out with $500 to $1,000 to $2,000.
Okay.
Right.
I got to tell you, I'm thinking of my CPA office, and it's like, we don't even buy that much paper. So it's like, I don't know how I would do that, but it's an interesting process. Through it. And other than software, there's not a lot you buy in computers.
Well, yeah, and the beauty of it is you don't have to, let's suppose, and this is one thing we also teach, is the fact that you don't have to, if you get a $2,000 Staples card, let's just say,
yeah,
we don't want you to go spend $2,000 on Staples. All you have to do is go spend maybe $60 to $70 on it one time.
Ah, okay.
One time. When the invoice can, then there's a trick to when you get that invoice. The sooner you pay that invoice before the due date, the higher you can get reported, because there's an 80 paydex score. Okay, I don't want to get off track here, but there's an 80 paydex score is just basically paying your bills on time, and that's considered an excellent rating for businesses. But if you have an 85, 90 paydex score, you are like the cream of the crop. And the way to do that is paying your invoices or the bills you get in before the due date. So if you pay it 10 days before the due date, 15 days or 20 days, guess what? That boosts your paydex score tremendously.
Wow. This is just phenomenal information, okay? And so the now by Tier 3, what kind of dollar amounts are you talking at that point, do you think?
On Tier 3, you're probably looking for $5,000 maybe even higher.
Yeah, okay. It's just kind of stepping through.
Yep, and Tier 4 is step number 7. And this is when it gets really exciting, because this is when and again, Tier 3, we've seen, trade credit lines is 10,000 or even 15,000. So what I like to do is always low the numbers, undersell
right.
and overdeliver, so
absolutely.
To speak. So
yep.
I like to keep expectations very low. So when people are expecting a 1,000 credit line with one particular vendor, they get a $3,000 line. I'm like, wow, that's great. So,
yeah.
But on Tier 4 cash credit accounts, this is basically once you've gotten Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3, now you're ready to start getting into the exciting part. And this is kind of, I have to say, the end goal as far as the business credit building process, because then you get into cash credit. Because most people, that's what everybody's looking for. You know, they don't care about having to have to shop at Best Buy with a business corporate credit card or going to a Staples, et cetera. But those things will get you to the end result, which is these cash credit cards. And this is obviously Visa, MasterCard logos. And the benefits, this is the benefit. Anybody can go get a business credit card right now. But there's, again, a very important thing to remember when it comes to business credit cards is the fact that I'm trying to look for this number here, which this will really blow you away, because of all the business credit cards out there, there are thousands of them out there, and very few of them will report solely on your business credit. Okay, so the benefits on Tier 4 is you obtaining business cash credit cards that are solely based on your business credit. It has nothing to do with your personal credit. So this is where you start getting business cash credit cards that are that you apply for with just a Dun & Bradstreet number and just your federal tax ID number. That's it. So that's Tier 4. And of course, the last stage of the ultimate business credit, step number 8, is advanced business financing. And this is where I get excited, because at this stage, you've already got your business credit profile. You have history, you have business scores, you have your ratings, you have access to funding, and you could continue to obtain even larger amounts of financing by following some advanced business credit building strategies that we teach you. So there's even, you know, because again, we have clients that their whole goal is to invest in commercial properties. They're looking for millions of dollars in credit lines, and there's ways to do that as well, which is like shelf corporations, et cetera, et cetera. But remember, it's not only about how much cash credit you obtain initially, it's about setting up your business for success and setting up your business to where you and your family are not at risk. And where you can almost not guarantee the success of your business, but you can guarantee that if your business needs the financing, it has it. And that's one of the main reasons businesses go out of business is because of what? It's lack of funding.
Cash. Yep. I mean, and it's interesting, because that's one of the things I talk about with my clients is not making sales obviously can hurt you. You don't have enough cash. But growing your business too fast can hurt you a lot too, simply because you need to staff up, you need to have inventory, you need to have more investment. And if you don't have the credit, suddenly hitting it big can absolutely put you out of business faster than not making any sales.
Right.
So that's what I love this, is that within a year, you could be to the point where, and it, the reality is that usually the overnight success usually takes at least a year. So this could be a great criteria, a great way to start for anybody. I love how you spelled out the 8 steps. You used a term. I wanted to just jump a little ahead and so we can explain that. What is a shelf corporation? Because you said if you use a shelf corporation, you could do something different.
Sure. Oh, and one other thing, one other real quick statistic is kind of one of my little golden statistics, I call.
Sure.
That again, you will not see this or hear about this in other credit building companies, or almost no one knows about this. This is another key thing that you have to pay attention to if you're building your business credit. There are over 500 business credit cards in the United States, 500 of them, okay? But
wow.
Guess what? Less than 70 of them report solely on your business credit. Less than 70 of the 500 business credit cards in the United States today report solely on your business credit profile.
And those are the 70 we want to get. Well, not all 70 of them, but
right.
One of those.
That's the goal. That's the goal,
yes.
Right there. Right.
Yep.
And that's some very important knowledge that most people, and of course people want to know, where are these credit card companies, or which ones? I'm going to tell you this, they don't advertise.
Yeah.
They don't. What they do is they select. And the only way they select the people is, guess what? It's based on your ratings. It's based on your business credit profile. When I saw my clients, they get so excited. Oh, I got an offer for this cash credit card for $10,000. All they need is my DMB and my federal tax. That's one of the cash credit cards you qualify for, because their particular paydex was at 85, and they had a really strong business credit. So,
right.
If you do everything correctly, that's the point you want to get to. And we do provide those specific cash credit cards, but we provide them to our members once they've complied and gone through all the stages they need to do. Because what we want to do is we want to keep the integrity of this intact. Because what happens is many people want to skip. I'll just go to tier 4. I don't need to do 1,
sure.
2, 3. Well, guess
right.
what? You're going to have some miserable failure. You'll never get approved
right.
that way. But
right. And then that's what you do at your site, is you coach people through all of these steps so that they can get this established and do it as quickly and easily as possible.
That's right. Right. If you're going in for surgery, the doctor has every single step from, you know, sanitizing you to doing this.
Right.
You don't see him jump and say, hey, let me just jump here and so I can be over with
the
surgery.
Let me just make a cut. You don't need that old anesthesia. It'll be fine.
That's right. Exactly.
So let's go through the steps.
Okay. And you were asking about shelf corporations?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We have time, right? Okay. Yeah, we got
time. We do.
All right. shelf corporations, wow, this is a whole nother, I could spend an hour on this alone, but shelf corporations, they're really unique. They're also known as aged corporations, and I'm sure you've probably seen them on the internet, and these are basically corporations that are already formed, but they're not in use, and they're ready to be purchased by someone. So, and there's lots of reasons why people would buy a shelf corporation, but there's key things that you have to look out for when you buy a corporation or a shelf corporation. And I'm sure every listener on the call is probably thinking, well, why would I even purchase a shelf corporation? How would it benefit me? Well, a shelf corporation is great for an individual or entrepreneur who's looking to start building business credit. And one of the things that banks look at, one of the things that affect your business credit rating, is how long you've been in business, how long your corporation has been in business. So if you're starting out right now and you just set up your corporation, it doesn't severely hamper you, but it does affect you if you're, like, let's say a year from now you want to go to the bank and get a bank line of credit. Very tough. Especially because your corporation is only a year old. Whereas on a shelf corporation, if you have a 5-year-old shelf corporation, or you just bought a corporation that's been in a shelf for 5 years, it looks a lot better. But I'm going to tell you one thing about shelf corporations is banks are getting very smart. And they don't just look at it, and I'm just talking about banks, because bank ratings, that's a whole other area to build credit with, is banks. But banks rate you, but when you're going for a bank line of credit, they don't want to just see how long you've been in business. They want to see your financials. They want to see your tax returns for your business.
Right.
So just because you have a 20-year-old corporation, you don't think you can walk into a bank and say, hey, this business been in business for 20 years, lend me money. It doesn't happen. They're going to want to see your returns. They're going to want to see what kind of volume you have going through your business. So now, if you have a business that's already generating volume and you all of a sudden just want to change ownership, that's a different story. But don't worry if your existing corporation is less than 2 years old, because you'll still be able to obtain business credit. But shelf corporations offer a large increase in your ability to borrow. But the more importantly, it enhances your credibility for your business when you're talking to customers and lenders out there, because, you know, but, you know, for example, when you look at H.J. Heinz, the ketchup company, right?
Yes.
They've been in business since 1869, but that doesn't mean their shareholders are over 100 years old, right?
Right, exactly.
but it looks good because their business was filed that year in 1869. Mm-hmm. So obviously you could take advantage of that type of credibility when you advertise to customers. So if you have someone listening to the call tonight who's starting a business, that may be something you're looking at, like where you don't want to be looked at as a startup. Okay, so that's where shelf corporations also benefit, and you can have some purchasing power with some lenders out there and cash credit card companies when you've been in business for more than 2 years. So, but there is some things to look out for, and I know we're here at the top of the hour, but I'll just say one other thing is there are many shelf corporations that have done business in the past. Do not buy these corporations, okay? If the reason why is if there's any lingering liabilities for that company, and if the company's ever had lawsuits, guess what? If you bought it, you own it now.
You bought it. You bought them.
That's right. That's right. So, and just so you know, that's another aspect of our membership. We do provide shelf corporations if that's something someone wants to purchase. And there are corporations that we have available. And, of course, that's on one specific membership we offer that. Many people want to buy a shelf corporation strictly because they think they can get tons of credit right away for it. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah. I think that's the thing I really enjoy talking to you is you've got great knowledge, and at the same time, this isn't the scam, guys. You know, they're saying you get a shelf corporation and immediately get $1 million worth of credit, and it'll only cost you $1,000. That's just not how it works.
Absolutely. I actually put together a short little report kind of on the 8 steps to building ultimate business credit, so I'm sure everybody is going to be able to listen to this conference call again, but at the same time, if you're the type of person who likes to read and read thoroughly on some of the things we covered tonight, you can download my free report. Actually, it's $1. The pay thing would not let me set it at zero, so I apologize for that. But it does
cost. This is one of those things with websites. we call it soft launch in that all the bugs aren't worked out yet, but thank you for getting it done. Is the report online right now?
Yeah, it's available. Okay. And one other thing I wanted to talk about real quick on the Entrepreneur Club is the fact that we have a funding engine in there now. So, and I don't want to get too much on all the things that we have on the website, but basically we have 4,000 funding sources that we can match you up with depending on what you're looking for your business. So if you're looking for equipment financing, looking for a loan to purchase a building, et cetera, we have a funding engine now built into our website too.
Oh, that's wonderful. Anything final that you would say, your final piece of advice for everybody on the call?
The best advice I can give to everyone out there listening on this conference call is when you listen to something like this today, and I want to first commend you, Diane, for putting this together and bringing this type of information to your listeners, to your members, to your clients, because, you know, this is so important. And the key I want to tell you is not only to thank Diane for assembling this call, I want to thank you for that, but also to take action, you know, and find out more about what we're talking about tonight and ask yourself some of the key questions and listen to this call again. Because if there was one thing that you missed, and just take action, start building your business credit. And even start reading, feel free to read my blogs or read my articles, but take action and start building your business credit today, because you want to protect your personal assets and your family.
Yeah, thank you, Marco. And my comment is going to be, my big thing is that I've always shortcutted because it was easier just to use my personal credit, and I didn't want to go through all those steps, but for the next businesses I start, I will always do exactly like Marco is saying here, with a tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. That's truly the only way to build a real business that's separate from you. Otherwise, you're tied in forever. And I think that for a lot of us, we're looking for ways that we create a business that eventually creates passive income that we're not still having to link into. And this is the only way I know to do it. So thank you so much for taking some time out of your Saturday, Marco. This has been amazing information.
Thank you so much, Diane, and I want to thank you. You're a gem, and I appreciate you. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thank you all for listening today. Bye-bye.